It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
Do you know your history?
And I'll go back into some other things with the origin of man.
Do you know who you are?
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
What you learned, has it been a lie?
So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
God bless you and good evening. I pray all is well with you. Greet you in the name of God, our Father, God, His Son, God, His Holy Spirit. I am Pastor Roderick Williams. Welcome to Breaking Chains History Talk podcast with Dr. Lavert Kemp. God bless you. Good evening, Pastor, and welcome.
Good evening, and God bless you, Pastor. I want to just take this time before we go any further and just have a short prayer for your daughter. As we get ready to go into our history talk, Heavenly Father, we come in the matchless name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come asking that you would look over Reverend Williams' daughter, Lord. You know what she's going through, Lord, and we know that there's more healing in the hem of your garments than any drugstore pharmacist. And, Lord, we call petitioning you, Lord, that you would move on her, Lord, and Lord, we ask that you would strengthen her mother and her father as they deal with this situation. And Lord, we know, Lord, that, you know, you answer prayers. And we ask you now, Lord, that you would answer a prayer for us, Lord, that as she go through this journey to get well, that you be ever present with her, Lord, and that you would touch the doctors and steer them in the way that they should go. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you, and we can't do nothing without you. It's in Jesus' name we're praying for his sake. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You, Pastor.
God bless you.
Today, we want to start off by just saying good evening to each and everyone who tuned in, and good evening to UTS, United Theological Seminary students that's tuned in tonight, and all those others that tuned in. God bless you guys. We're going to start off talking about something that's going on right now, and then we'll allude back to the early African history. And before I go into even this part that I would like to discuss with you, I want us to understand they pigeonhole African Americans to only deal with from slavery till now. They, for some reason, it's been whitewashed. And it seems as though that white America and white Europeans don't want you to understand who you really are. They want you to believe that you're subhuman and that you're ignorant, but all the things that they have, whether it's math, science, architecture, you name it, medicine, all these things came from Africa. And while they were yet living in caves, Africans had civilization. And then also they came from Africans. First person on earth came from Africa, and that's their own sign. But we're going to go and talk about what's going on in Israel. We know about what they're talking about, what's going on right now. I've been hearing them say things, and it's something that I often say. I have this thing. I don't like people to talk to me like I'm crazy or that I'm an ignorant person. I am not an ignorant person. They say that they want to annihilate Hamas. Well, America with over 16 or more years, more than that, in Afghanistan to get rid of Al-Qaeda. The more they kill, the more people popped up. And the more Hamas people be killed, others going to take their side because, and this is not that they are in the wrong. Now, listen at me closely. And it's not that they're in the wrong, but what's going on is the fact that it's their land. They've been there much longer than those children that call themselves Jews today. And I know a lot of students that I've taught before understand that the term Jew is only about 1,000 years old. It shouldn't even really be in your Bible. And being, then again, there's no such thing as a J in Hebrew or Greek. It shouldn't even be there. It's why it should be a Y, Yeshua. But nevertheless, that they're there by the power of America. They're there by the power by the United States. They're there by the power of France. They're there by the power of Germany. They are the Zionists, Great Britain, Australia, and Hungary. And we have to understand this has been a big plot ever since the 1897 with the Zionist Herzog Theodore. And it started in 1897 that the first Zionist Congress, you know, came together and met. Their base was in Switzerland, and it was founded by the Brits. In 1903, they first, now I want you to understand closely what the Zionists first did. They wanted to give these people a homeland, and the people didn't want them. There were money changers, and they were doing what they do now. They control most of the world today. And you have to understand this, that they wanted to give them to land, and you could research this. The first place they wanted to give them some land was in 1903, and the first place was in Africa, in Uganda, but they did not want to live in Uganda. So around 1914, they moved the Russians. Had moved a lot of them out of there, out of Russia, and they settled about 13,000 of them, 13,000 settled, and called itself a Jewish settlement. Now, Jewish don't mean you are it's Jewish. That they only worship Judaism. That doesn't mean that they're Semitic people. And I want us to understand that. For in order to be from an Israelite, a real Israelite, you have to be Semitic. And the Semitic people, biblically, the Semitic people came from that part of the world. They came from what you would call North Africa. Now we call it the Middle East during right after they built the Suez Canal. It was called the Middle East. Now we call it Euro, like European. Euro-Asia, and that's a name that's been given by Europe, Euro-Asia, because they name everything. Like Africa is not the real name for the country. It's been called Ethiopia. It's been called many other things, but it's been said that the name of Africa was Akabula by the people, but when the Greek and the Romans came in, they gave it different names. So it's something that we need to understand. And I want us to understand America was colonized starting in the 1400s and the 1500s when they started, you know, not with Columbus, because he really didn't come, but when the pilgrims came to America and started colonizing for the queen, they colonized and killed off the Native Americans. Well, we have to understand that that's what's going on in Jerusalem right now in the Holy Land. The people that there are not indigenous, or they are not the original people from there. Matter of fact, if you study your Bible, you could go back in Genesis around that 10th chapter, and you'll find out that Ham had a son, and they said that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race. And I want you to look this up. It's in the Zondervan Bible Dictionary. And you look up the definition of Ham. And it says Ham is the youngest son of Noah, born about 97 years before the flood, and that he is the progenitor of the dark race, the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites. Now, the Canaanites settled right there, what you call the Holy Land today. That's where they settled. So it was no such thing as Caucasians there. You just heard it that their own Bible dictionary states that Ham is the progenitor of them and they're the dark race. I know we may be confused because everything has been whitewashed. When you look at television since Egypt, when Caucasian was just coming out of cave, Egypt had built 48 story buildings. They had sewer, they had light, they had drainage, they had aqueducts with water flowing. When whites came, they found all these things, and even to this very day, they marvel at the things that Egypt had. Now listen at me, and see, they say they're Semitic, and they have this thing saying if you say something about the people, the white guys that's over there now, you're anti-Semitic. How can you be Semitic? You didn't come from Shem. You came from Japheth, and all you have to do is read the children of Japheth, and you're going to see what they talk about. Eskenaz, and that's what they call the main population of the people. They really don't belong there. They're colonizing, they're killing people and taking their land. And I want us to understand, and it's historical too, because our country, United States of America, and I listed different countries that supporting them right now, America, Britain, the U.S., Australia, and Hungary. See, because before they put those people over there from 1923 until 1948, the British controlled that area, had came and was colonizing that section. And when these people that were in Europe and wanted somewhere to stay, they told them they could go to Uganda, but they didn't want it because Uganda is not a seaport city, country. And they needed somewhere that they could, and that's what they wanted. So Great Britain, the great, great Britain, where the queen, where they talk about the queen, this, that, and I don't believe in it. I don't believe in a monarchy because I only have one king, and that's King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
As I look at this and find out exactly what's going on, see, Israel before 1948 was called British Palestine. Now, it's incumbent upon us to understand these things, that it was called British Palestine. And that it was done that the Zionist people took this over. And that the Zionists, when you hear about Zionist Jews, you're talking about some violent people that want this a total Jewish state. So the Canaanites were the first people that we find that was there, and they are Semitic people. The ancestors of the real Jew were Abraham, who came from Ur of the Chaldees or the Mesopotamian, around where Syria and where Iraq is. Going over the Calvary, you know. And there, if you go back over 4,000 years ago, the Sumerian people lived there, and the Sumerian people was what they call Assyrian. And the Assyrian called himself the black-headed people. And people know that during that over 5,000 years before Christ, that part of the country was, during that time, through artifacts and pure forms that they found out it was more of an Ethiopian civilization, meaning that it was black. And so Abraham really would have been a black man. But being the fact that whites do write the Bible and they revert, okay, the revisions that are made by Europeans. And they have whitewashed Jesus white, Abraham, Adam and Eve were white, and life did not originate in Europe. Life did not originate where people say. And if you read your Bible, even your Bible tell you it was in Africa. They tell you about the Pishon, Gishon River. And if you find out the sons of Noah and his grandson, they'll tell you about Havilah. And they'll tell you the name of that area, which is Ethiopia, was called Cush. It'll say that the first river, and conquered the land of Cush, which is Havilah. And the other one was Djibouti, which is Somaliland, and that's Somalia and Ethiopia. So and you have your blue and your white now. But nevertheless, and they know it. This is something that's well known. We're talking about the Garden of Eden. And even to this very day, even to this very day, when you study your anthropology, you'll find out, even today what they'll find out, the oldest fossil that was found came from Lucy. And that was in Ethiopia in 1974. And this partial skeletal remains of Lucy, and she was found by Don Johansson and Tom Gray. And she was about 3.2 million years old that this hominid was. And so this was found out in 1974. They call us skeletal remain Lucy because, again, Europe, and then Europe was naming her. And during this time, you know, in Britain, the Beatles was going around. So the Beatles had a record called Lucy in the Sky. And Lucy is called Australopithecus, if you want to look it up, Australopithecus. And now, that we know this is Africa. All the oldest, if you want to find out where the oldest people came from Africa. But I'm saying all this to tell you that Caucasians have no rights to the Holy Land, which is the Holy Land. And the thing that I said earlier, if you didn't get what I was trying to tell you earlier, was that they continue to say that they're going to do away with Hamas. Well, you can't do away with Hamas. You're in somebody's land. You're going to always have, and by the way, the people, Hamas is not the terrorists. They are the terrorists. They have killed about 47,000 people that's from over there right now, Palestinians. They'll kill over 40. I'm talking about mainly children and women. They kill. So it's not the Hamas, the terrorists. It's those people that call themselves Jews or Israel. Now, just like this, they are Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda still exists. The same movement that when you kill bin Laden, they still exist. People just keep coming back, joining those organizations. They call themselves doing away with the Ku Klux Klan. They're stronger now than it was when it first was put together right after. Because it came, the Ku Klux Klan wasn't there during the time of, during the Civil War. It came to being after the Civil War. A lot of people think that they came to being. But if you would all only understand, America have over 350 hate groups alive right now. They didn't have that many during the Civil War time. They didn't have that many right after the Civil War. They got over in America to this very day, you have over 350. That's not counting all over the world. And the people, if you ever hear about a Zionist Jew, if you hear a Zionist Jew, you talking about a racist person that will kill every Palestinian that's over there right now. They would do away with them. And remember, Great Britain had colonized that part over there right now, where, over in Palestine. It was in 1948, they were called British Palestine. Now I'm going to give you a nugget before we go off into some of our earlier stuff. And it was in 1952, where Gamal Abdel Nasser, he was the second, being the second president of Egypt right before Anwar Sadat, and he made a statement. And the statement he made is, this was national news, world news, around the world. If no matter where you live, it made the news. And this is what he said. He said, we, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles, saying the white people, which they put in the Holy Land in 1948. 48. This is 4 years later after they put whites there. That's there now. He said, we the Arab League refuse to accept the Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? We would not accept them. So you understand what they just said? That the original children of Israel left black, but now white people are calling themselves coming there saying they're the original people. And at the boot of it, they're killing the people and taking their land. All these things, that this is what's going on now. This has been going on for so many years now. They say Israel turned 75, meaning that they've just been over in that part of the world 75 years. They become a continent 75 years ago. And we need to understand this. And that's, you might wonder when I say I don't like people to talk to me as though I'm ignorant, because I will pick a book up and read a book. And if anyone else pick it up, you will find out that evidently they think that we won't pick a book up. And the thing, the most dangerous thing is not a person, an African-American out there fighting, shooting guns and doing things. But to other people, it's a person who reads and a person who is outspoken. Because the Bible say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You know, once you study it and, you know, and you learn it, you're free. You're free from sin because if you study your Bible, because it tells you how to avoid falling into sin. You know, the truth will make you free. If we would have learned to read, many guys that were slaves, they learned to read and then learned how to go to different free states and take it before the law and free themselves. But these are things that's going on. And if you read Esther 8 and 17, you'll find out these people are nothing but converts. And they don't hold the power that they have. They never were smarter than you. They never were more intelligent than you. This is the lie that have been fed to African Americans for so many years. And they know themselves that they're only a mutation of you. But dealing with Israel, and so I want you to understand this when you listen at the news, because even America's involved with this colonization, because your taxpayer money that's listening at my voice, your taxpayer dollars are paying for missiles to bomb these people and have them going into starvation right now today, them blew up their homes and everything, because we're talking now to give Israel 12 or 15 billion dollars, which we give them $4 billion every year for their defense. Don't you know that Israel has nuclear weapons? If you're not a Canadian nation, they don't want you to have a nuclear bomb. As though we are the only people, or they're the only people that's good people, and you know what happened to America called good people and things like that. And I beseech you too, for America, what people think, because they don't give it. That have been told to us and things, but once you begin to read and study, you'll find out and get to know people. You'll find out that all this land, Australia, I call Australia as being the one that supported Israel. Australia is a colony of Great Britain too. That was a penal colony, and that's where they send their prisoners down there. And they kill off what they call the aboriginals, who were Africans who left about 70,000 years ago out of Africa and found their way down there in the water. Yeah, out there to Australia. But they were black people. They went there and mostly killed just about everybody off and took their country from them. So it's not that other groups are, the very people who call people terrorists are the ones involved in terrorist acts. So now when you look at that, don't say about, yeah, I pray for the peace of Israel, but I don't pray for the people that's saying that they are the indigenous people. I don't call them Jews. They're not Israelis, because an Israeli would be a Semitic person, and they are Caucasian. They come from the Caucasoid Mountain, and they have about as much, have as much ownership as that as a Spanish poodle. They have no right there by God-given right to be there. And this is, these are things that's noted facts. And there are so many facts in your Bible that tells you who that they are not those people. First of all, I would tell you to go to Acts 21 and 38. They said that they thought Paul was the Egyptian. Now, this is in the Bible. They say they thought Paul was an Egyptian. That's Acts, the 21st chapter. Now, this is right after Jesus' death. They thought he was an Egyptian. This Acts 21 and 38. Now, you just heard me say that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race. They say the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites. The women that the children of Israel married were Canaanite or Egyptian women throughout your Bible. And then Deuteronomy 28 and 68 tells you that that the children of Israel was going to go to bondage by shift this time, not go back to bondage. Israel called place of bondage. That's not the real name. When it first, the name, and it's not the name that the African gave Egypt, but it's a name that the earlier people that came from Europe called it Mezarim. And then the word Cush, which would be Ethiopia, which means burnt face. Mezarim called it committed people. The word Kim means black, meaning the black, the land of the blacks, and that's Egypt. But they turn everything around, and whenever it's time that you're going to watch Moses, and are you going to watch all these things coming up, how they have been heard and all these things coming up now. And every person playing that, since they built a pyramid and blacks were so knowledgeable, all the people that played those individuals, including Jesus, who was black, because you could go back to all his grandparents, they were black. And the Bible let you know who they were. They were Canaanites and Egyptians or Ethiopian people. But then all of a sudden, when you see a picture, that person come out to be Caucasian. And that is none but white supremacy. It going and coming. That is what that is. They have did so many things that to keep us from knowing who we are. And do you know, long as we don't know who we are lost people. You know, and the Bible says my people are lost, you know, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For some odd reason, the very same people who've been doing all this stuff for thousands of years, that's the take our emily and want to be. Those are the people that we imitate. But I'm going to, since I have the students on tonight, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to the earlier parts of history, and maybe I may touch upon some things during slavery time, but when it's time to come in. I told you to remember that Herzog Theron, he started the Zionist movement in 1897, and that's what the Zionist is, a national movement, you know. And the national movement is to have a homeland for the so-called Jewish people, the Jewish or the Jews. And then I told you earlier that they in 1903, they had found a homeland from them in Uganda, in Africa, but they didn't want that. They wanted to be somewhere else. I guess they said that the African people might take out on them what some of the low-down things that they did to them by that time, that they had plenty of knowledge of them dealing with white folk. But now I want us to understand that, now going back, I alluded to that, to let you know something about yourself, about Lucy being the oldest fossil that they found, and they found it in, I told you, Ethiopia in 1974 by Don Johansson and Tom Gray. They were excavating rocks when they stumbled upon a part fossil of a female. And it was 3.2 million years, in other words, 3,200,000 years old. And then the other person that found other fossils in Africa that dates back to 2.8 million years was Lewis Leakey and his wife, Mary Douglas Leakey. See, they were British paleontologists who discovered the first fossil of what they call Proconsul, an extinct ape, which is today, they don't have them anymore, which some believe that we came from this ape, which there's no proof. But she also discovered what they call a robust zenzanthropy. And zenzanthropy deal with, that's East Africa. And that's why they say mostly life originated in East Africa. And they found a skull in the Odiv Gorge, in which today we will call it that Odiv Gorge, Tanzania in East Africa. And when it was in the Odiv Gorge, what they came up on was several archaeological, anthropological, and fossils, and even different tools that date back millions of years that show that man had a brain where he could think, because they found tools what man was able to work with and do, knives and other things that men used to deal with. So human beings have been able to do things for so many years. And it's time that we learn these things. These things here, we have to understand, you know, about these great anthropologists who hid all these things, so-called, how they hid all these things from us for years. They even had some fossils they found that went back to 4 million years ago. Now, it's things that we know they try to talk about bipedability, things like that. And if you ever hear them talk about bipedability, some of the scientists say that you came from an ape, but when they found Lucy at 3.2 million years old, she was bipedal. I mean, she walked upright. She was not an ape. She walked upright. And then they found some foot tracks in a volcanic ash thing that went back to 3.7 million years, and the footprint showed that the person was bipedal, meaning walking straight up, and that comes from Africa. When they go back to find fossils, they do not go back to Europe, Russia, or anywhere else, India, nowhere else, or China. They go to Africa to find the cradle of civilization. See, the first in sub-Saharan Africa, even to this very day, by all our anthropologists and geneticists, all of them says that man came from sub-Saharan Africa, right below the Sahara Desert. And those of you who don't know, the Sahara Desert is larger than the whole United States. The desert in Africa is larger than the whole United States of America. That's sub-Saharan Africa. Now, I want us to understand, too, that we have one of the living fossils that they found And this is very important. You know, when you start tracing DNA and all these things about Louis Leakey and Mary Douglas Leakey and Donna Johansson and Tom Gray, all that discovery. Well, they even found this out, that if we trace our DNA back on our mitochondria inheritance, our mitochondria DNA, and that's found within the female bloodline, within our cells, and all of our human cells have mitochondria DNA. And all human beings have a theoretical common ancestor. And this woman name is Mitochondria Eve, like Eve of the Bible. And she lived right around 200,000 years ago in South Africa. Now, we know she's not the first human being to live, but no other female that had lineage eventually had no female offspring and failing to pass on this mitochondrial DNA. After this resulted, all humans, okay, all contemporary, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to Mitochondria Eve. Within her DNA and of her peers exists all the genetic variations we see in contemporary since Eve time. Our population might be different, and we see people look different in China, India, Europe, America, Africa, all around the globe. We seem to look a little different, but we all carry her DNA. That's Mitochondria Eve. So we did know that everybody in existence, she's the grand, great, 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 great. If you go back a couple hundred great greats back, you'll end up with her being everybody's great grandparents' mother, because no other person, we everybody carry her DNA, and that's how they know that the original man. And this is not black anthropologists or geneticists, but these are white geneticists that wrote this. But now, they also found a man who lived 2,300 years. Found out that this man's DNA, and he was a very close relative, and the closest yet he had humanity of the Freeman ancestor. Mitochondria Eve is fossils in what they call St. Helen Bay in South Africa. And fossils were found by an archaeologist. His name was Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. Again, Africa is the cradle of civilization. We may look different, but that comes from what you call a mutation. Okay? That comes from a mutation. In other words, Gregoire Mendel, which Mendel Law talks about the mutation. See, Gregoire Mendel, he was born 1822, and he lived to 1888. Gregoire Mendel is called the father of genetics. And our genetics are inheritance that involve, that are passed down by discrete units of inheritance. They're passed down by our grandmother, then our grandfather. The genes from our parents came from their parents, and they're passed down to us. If you've heard people say, he looked like his grandfather. Well, or his grandmother, she looks like her grandmother. Well, the genes have been passed down. But Mendel has some laws. He called three laws. He said the law of independence or assortment. And what he's talking about, this is after AD 70, when people start leaving out, some of the people left out of Africa and went to the Middle East, which was North Africa at that time. because the Suez Canal had not been built. And it's, and about 40,000 years later, they went to what you call Europe now, what we call the European thing. And it independent, they independently separated themselves. And they call the law of dominance when you have a certain group of people looking a certain way, and if they do that, the law of dominance, that their people are going to do that. And the law of segregation mean when you, like China, the people in China, you look at Chinese people, they mainly marry within the group, and they independently segregate from other people. And I want you to understand, this is something I want you to get, catch this. Botany and genetics, dealing with your genomes. Now, this is a study that Gregoire Mendel came up, that black or brown skin come from dominant genes. Brown eyes come from dominant genes. White skin come from a recessive gene. And was the word the dominant come from the term that means superior. Recessive mean it come from a lower part, means something that's a recess of something, mean it's lower. See, it's a statement now. You could get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. You could take two of the blackest people in the world and never and come out with an albino child. But if you take two white individuals, you can't come up with a black child because you can't get the dominant from the recessive because they can't reproduce that because mitochondria Eve have reproduced every color, every nation in this world came from a black woman's womb. Now, there's something what they call the hidden DNA discovered only found in black Africans. And it's talking about the DNA strain. And it was, and I want you to listen to me closely about this. It's called the American Association for the Advancement of Science, a DNA series of genome, and by Dr. Edward Robinson. And it was talking about when what they did was they took the DNA and they did different tests. And when they did the test, they came up with something to find out about intelligence. See, you measure your intelligence. They wanted to see how intelligent a people were. See, if you want to measure intelligence, if you take, like I took a ancestry DNA test, and they got Ceres. The Ceres would tell how smart you are. They took it, and when they took it down and see, the whites have different DNA Ceres than what we have. And they wanted to find out about the difference. See, my sequence said, I'm from Nigeria, Benin, Yoruba, or something like that. But the series would tell my ability to learn, my ability to, close ability to be a genius. And it's called, and if you want to look it up, it's under the Global Patterns of Disequilibrium. That's what it's under if you want to look it up. Global Patterns of Disequilibrium. It was 15 white scientists put this study together. And what they did was they said that since so many people said that we came from different animals like the chimp family, the monkey family. And so they say, well, what they were going to do was test them for their DNA series to see was that true about different animals were smarter than others, and they knew that different animals were smarter. Well, when they did the DNA series test, they went with the orangutan. The orangutan had three series because they said orangutan would come from the ape family, and that the ape family, which is humans, came from, you know, they wanted to say that earlier scientists, The anthropologist wanted to say that. Then they went and they tested the gorilla. Remember, the orangutan had three series, now the gorilla had four, meaning that you could teach a gorilla more than you could teach orangutan, and a gorilla would be more smarter than a gorilla. And then they say the closest one to humans humans came off of anthropology. Some said it back then, but they changed it now. Say we came from the chimp family. And true enough, the chimp was smarter than them all. The chimp had five series, smarter than all the primate family. So they went around the world and they started testing people in Europe and China and Japan and Korea. They went all around the world testing nothing but white folk all over the world. And true enough, they were smarter than the orangutan, the gorilla, the chimpanzee. They had six series. But these 15 scientists realized something they forgot. They didn't test Africans, so they went to West Africa. Now, most of the blacks that came to enslavery, you came from West Africa. But when they tested the West African, they came up with nine series. Now, think about this. The orangutan had three, and the gorilla was smarter, had four. The chimpanzee was smarter than the orangutan, the gorilla, and he had five. And then after that, they tested all these whites and other folk all around the world, and they were smarter than the orangutan, the gorilla, and the chimpanzee. They had six, but when they test Africans, the African with three series higher than the closest one, which was white folk, which had six series, and the Africans from West Africa had nine series. They were more closer scientifically to be a genius than anyone else. That's why you'll find out that blacks invented fiber optic wiring, GPS, cell phone, typewriter, gas mask, safety glasses, elevator, the clothes dryer, the air conditioning unit, the almanac, blood plasma bag, lawnmower, lube cup, refrigerator, spark plug, stethoscope, thermostat, traffic light, typewriter, electric lamp bulbs, and there are many others that we did. And you found out that it had a black guy from right here in Louisiana had to. Before the Wright brother had something to fly, he had it flying right here in Louisiana. It's just coming out. Let the truth be told, they couldn't have went to the moon and came back without black. So you don't know that you are smart because you've been told from first through 12th grade by subliminally, you've been brainwashed that you are dumb. So our children think they're dumb from going through the school that whites have set up, because there's nothing a black have done in none of the civics book, the history books, the science book, every book that discovers something came from someone Caucasian. So when that come out, the white kids think that they are trained that they're smart, and blacks are trained that they're not, and that it's a miracle when a black kid is smart. No, it's not. It's innate. He has an innate ability to rise above his adversity. That's the truth. And then again, don't you know that, again, the original man was created in Africa. It was dark. And then I want you to understand, man left and went through a mutation. We're about to open the line up for the students. I'm going to say this. It's important that we understand this, that when man left out of Africa 70,000 years ago, after modern humans established themselves in Africa, smaller population branched out to establish footholds in Asia before spreading to the West and into Europe, reaching the Americas. Now, you say, well, why do we look different? Why are some of us darker than the other? Well, we went through something recently with COVID-19. and they were talking about COVID-19. Then they went to where there was Epsilon. It went through different, mutating at different stages. And this is a mutation. Now listen at the definition of a mutation. It says a mutation is a change of a structure of a gene resulting in a variation form that may be transmitted to subsequent generations, meaning passed down, caused by an alternate of a single base unit in DNA or deletion, insertion, or rearrangement of large section of gene. A mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variants enter into a species, into the human species, deletion. What is the deletion? Melanin. Don't you know that in Africa, they have people with all different textures of hair? Don't you know before whites ever came in, they had light brown skin, black, you had dark skin, brown skin, they had printed nose, black. If you even go to not being interbreeded, you can find the Africans on the eastern coast of Africa, most of them have sort of like printed nose. Now, and then we talk about same thing with COVID-19 variants. Now listen to what they're talking about a variant is. A variant is a form or version of something that differ in some respects from other forms of the same thing or form or standard. All of us look alike, but people just lost their melanin. The same thing, I know Caucasians would not like to be called an albino, but that's really what they are. Some of their own scholars have even said that they're no more than albino. They're just a bleached form of a black person. And it's true. And they know it, but wouldn't want you to say it because they know that means that they're mutated into one thing from you to something else. And I'm going to go into to open the lines up. I know we've been holding on, and some of my students, I don't know if you went to sleep on me and things, and don't worry about it. I always tell them how I would do with their grades if they go to sleep. But old Jane Elliott is the one who on TV would say if we wouldn't need Black Lives Matter if we didn't have 300 years of Black Life Don't Matter. And she said that herself being a Caucasian, she said that they are no more than a bleach form of a black person, meaning a mutation of a black person. Amen. God bless you. Pastor, you can open, yes, Pastor William, you could open the line up.
All right. God bless you, Pastor. Powerful lesson tonight. Thank you very much. I'm opening up the lines. God bless everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone from the United Theological Seminary, all of the students. God bless you. God bless you and welcome tonight. The lines are open. Feel free to talk to Dr. Kemp, ask any questions, make statements. Everyone, your line is open. I'm sure Dr. Kemp will control everyone. He knows everyone by name. So, Dr. Kemp, all the lines are open for everyone.
Good evening. I'm Evangelist Marva Coleman. Good evening to Pastor Williams, Dr. Kemp, and to our listening audience. I'm a student at UTS, and I want to thank God for the knowledge that God has placed in Dr. Kemp. He's my mentor as well as my instructor, and he's teaching us about knowing our Black history. You know, we have to know. We know who we are with God, but we have to know where we came from. And that's what we've been studying. And I just thank God tonight for just being a part. I was on the line last week, but I was just trying to write down so much stuff I didn't say anything. But I just want to thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Williams and Dr. Kemp. We thank God and we give God the glory for putting the knowledge that he has put into your mind to share these things with us that we will have no way of knowing, unlike you say, unless we read it in a book. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Evangelist.
Amen. My name is Keith Williams. I'm also a student at UTS. And I want to piggyback on Sister Coleman and that say we are blessed to get this knowledge. And I question sometimes why we don't hear this more, especially when we're together with our young people, even in the pulpits. So I've been trying to figure out a way to help spread this message. I've actually been talking to people. Every time I learn something new, I try to share it with somebody else. It's just a blessing to be able to know. And I think our young people, when they know who we are and whose we are, then they can do a lot better. It'll go a long way in having peace in the world. So I'm also thankful, grateful to God that I made the decision to go to school and learn from such great people.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Do we have
and
anyone else on the line?
Oh, yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good evening, everyone.
God bless you.
God bless you. My name is Thomas Robinson. I'm a student of Dr. Kemp. And this has been mind, eye, and life open and spiritual in every aspect, because we're able now to get information from a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. We filled our whole life with truth, and that's what we really need to have. That's what our kids need to know, who they are. A lot of them don't know who they are. They doubt me. And they, like you say, they've been brainwashed that they can't accomplish anything. That's why the prison systems are full of children doing things that they should have been doing. You know? And if we had more men of God, as Dr. Kemp is, helping to spread this knowledge to our younger generation, I know it'll be a change not just in our neighborhoods, but in our world. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Good evening.
God bless you. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Minister Trey Albert. Thank you, Dr. Kemp, for the knowledge that you've given us and teaching us. We thank God for you, man of God. We ask that he continue to keep you and bless you in every way. And everybody's pretty much touched on the subjects and said everything that we basically all need to hear and need to know. It's not so much a praising man, but we're going to give you your flowers while you're living, sir. And we thank God for you. And we ask that you continue to teach us. And we look forward to the blessing.
Amen.
Hey, man. Good afternoon. How you all doing? This is Frederick Ferry.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Will, Pastor Williams, Dr. Williams, and Uncle Lever, Uncle Kemp, Dr. Kemp.
All right.
like we all have said, we just want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to learn, get the experience of our back history from the slave trade, from the Atlantic slave trade, from just all the things that our people went through in life and how they tried to suppress the knowledge for us to know and understand who we are and where we come from. You know, some of the things we've been learning in the book, some of the things I've read, about Frederick Douglass had a, you know, his slave master beat him. He ran away, came back. He tried to show favor to him, but then the next day he tried to jump him again. and held on to him for an hour. They battled for an hour. he couldn't beat the man, so he left him alone. We are some strong, powerful people, and if we can't beat them in one way, we gotta use the knowledge to beat them in another way.
Amen.
So many people that Amen. Have fought and lost their lives that we're sitting here learning for us to have freedom. You know, giving us the understanding to stand strong, battle mm-hmm. for our lives, for our mm-hmm. freedom, and we just thank you for the continuing. Learning and knowledge that he continued to give us to inspire our children. You know, my 9-year-old, I just told her she had to leave out because she was making too much noise because I was finna start speaking. You know, I look at that. That's, you know, besides, you know, giving all the praise to the Lord, I'm living for that, to try and put it in her mind what we learn in the day, to have an opportunity to do something in this world. And once again, we continue to thank you for the knowledge that you continue to spread to us all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good afternoon, Dr. Williams. Dr. Kemp, how y'all doing today?
God bless you.
Bless you.
Brother
Robinson, how you doing, Sister Coleman? It's a blessing to hear y'all voice. My God.
Bless
you. A new year to hear y'all voice. I guess in a nutshell what Dr. Kemp is emphasizing, the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Dr. Kemp has, throughout the time that even when I was attending, he tells us to read the Bible. There is something going on within the community, like Mr. Robinson said, that for whatever reason, we're going away from knowledge. The Bible says get wisdom, get knowledge, and all you're getting, get understanding. But if you don't read, if you don't read the word, then you have to depend upon somebody else or something else telling you something. And then the Bible clearly says that there'll be a lot of false prophets. You see?
All right.
So they... The nutshell thing is, the brother said, "What can we do? We must read the word, and then don't." I had a thing with, and I told the brother, "I'm not going to discuss the Bible with you if you don't have your Bible." See, because a lot of times that's like Dr. Kemp say, they come in with crazy and backwards and ignorant doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the Bible speaks for itself. You don't change not one dot. Nothing changes in it.
Amen.
But if they don't have it there, if they're not interested in the Bible, if they don't have their Bible. And it's just a blessing to see all of the students from the school calling up. But it is, like the brother said, all the brothers who sacrificed and sisters who sacrificed their lives so we could have access to the truth. Because that's what Jesus said. He is what? Mm-hmm. I am the who? The way and the life. All right. You see, but it's in the book. You got to read the book. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. You got to read the book. And then when we get them to pick up the book, we're going to see change. Because the Bible tells us about Pharaoh with his ugly ways. And the Bible clearly states that God let that... He let it go ahead on with his other ways to let him know that I am God and you just a passing king. You're just a passing king. And it's a lot of things that we're enduring today. But because we like the Israelites who left bondage in Egypt, as fast as we get to the close in the direction to where God would have us to be, we want to make a golden calf. We love things now.
All right.
We love things now. The brother want to know about all these poor youngsters going in penitentiary and killing one another. They love things. They after a golden calf. It is in the Bible.
The first thing God told Moses to tell them, do not take the ways of the people who you come in contact with on your way to the promised land. Freedom. What did Martin say? I've been to the mountaintop. I've looked over the other side, and I've seen. But guess what? We're going for the calf.
Amen.
We're doing a golden calf thing. And that's why what they say, I'm going to get rich or die trying. Well, Jesus Christ, somebody did talk to these people here in Baton Rouge, because these youngsters over here, they going down fast.
Yeah,
and I don't see no 100 millionaires out here in Baton Rouge. Not these young children, no way. I don't see no 100 millionaires. So something that, you know, we got to pick that Bible up, and somebody got to make them sit down and start reading the Word.
Amen.
The Word tells them, hey, look, if you follow the ways of the people you come in contact with, you going what? You going to pass. The Bible says that when Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the earth swallowed up thousands of them in one day. Hey. Sounds like a war going on in the Bible. If you do the wrong thing, you get yourself caught up. And if we look at what the brothers say, the Bible just said all across America, these young brothers and sisters are dying. So I would imagine we might be getting close to that number in one day across the width and breadth of the land, the nation, black folks and people. Come on, man, we have to stop. If somewhere along the line we got to pick that book up and start telling them, look, you can't stay in my house if you don't read this book. You can't eat my food if you don't read this book. You can't get in my – I can't lend you my car if you don't read this book. Because if they just read one page, it's a beginning in the right direction. Because when you read the first book of Genesis, it says the devil who was subtle, he looks good. He was slick, and he tricked Eve to make what? Told Eve that she was going to be like God. She was the only thing Eve ended up with, her sons killing one another. Somebody please tell me what's going on with the women's liberation thing. It's in the book. Eve, if you listen to that foolishness, your children going to kill each other. Our children are killing each other. Because the dads don't want to be the dads no more, and the moms don't want to be the moms no more. Come on, man. It's in the book, Eve. Don't listen. And Adam, it says, and she gave to him who was with her also. He stood right there and let that go down. Come on. We got to stop. Read the book. Just pick it up and read the book. It ain't the children. All of us killing each other. It says that Cain slew Abel because they was beefing. They had a beef because Cain didn't like the idea that Abel had a gift was better than his, so they was beefing, so he killed his brother. Come on, man. Oh, come on.
Brother, tell him read the book. Dr. Kemp, Dr. Williams, good to hear from y'all. Brother Robinson, good to hear from you. Sister Coleman, God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless y'all. I'm going to shut up. Y'all go ahead on and talk.
Okay. Thank
God bless you. God bless you, brother.
Reverend Williams, I want to ask you, sir, who is in any one of the students can tell me who is Two Sunday Overture?
Two Sunday
Overture.
Yes.
Overture was a general who defeated the British army. The British and the Portuguese. The British army beat them. He beat Napoleon. He whooped him.
Correct. Napoleon. Yeah, that's French. Yeah.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he whooped him.
And he liberated Haiti.
Where did he defeat him at? Where was he defeated at?
In Haiti.
He was defeated at where's my note?
Beyond Haiti.
In Haiti, okay. That's why Haiti was the first independent nation in the West, black
nation in the Western Hemisphere. That's why that Haiti is being mistreated now. Whenever they put a president in, he's a puppet president. The people overthrow him. That's why it's so unstable, because Americans want to control the oil and the natural resource over there. What they call uranium or something like that is called what they... They're one of the only places, about two places in the world that they have it, uranium, and they could get it from there. They want to control everything there, just like the third largest oil producer in the world is Nigeria, but Exxon and Shell control it, and the people don't get the bulk of the money. Don't get me wrong. Some of them get money, but the... It's being spent on the people. It's not spent on the people like it should.
Amen. And one of his favorite quotes that when I was reading about him too, Dr. Kemp, was when he was stating the quote of, by overthrowing me, you have only defeated the trunk of the tree of freedom, because it will go back because its roots are deep and numerous. And he meant that, you know, that God was going to be with them, and he did defeat and had great.
All right, now that's
the revolution.
Yeah, if you don't kill that whole tree and the roots kill it, it can sprout again.
Yes, and he
and that's what he was saying. And, you know, Reverend Coleman, that's what I said earlier about what I was saying earlier about Al Qaeda and Hamas. All you doing is cutting the top of the tree when you're killing a couple of old people, but the root is still there. The people still going to fight for their country. And so
that's
you
right.
Never get rid of them. America never got rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Matter of fact, Al-Qaeda ran them out of their own airplane.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, as soon as they killed so many of them and started Israel back again, 5 or 10 years down the road, them people going to have bombers getting on there because you kill my grandmother, you kill my father,
yeah.
Their children growing up motherless and fatherless is going to come to bombing Israel. I mean, you can't just do people any type of way and think they're not going to stand up for themselves.
Right, and like Brother Thomas was saying about that he led the Haitian Revolution, and he also implemented political and social reforms.
Correct.
So his impact extended beyond Haiti, inspiring movements for freedom worldwide. And somebody got to start some way.
You know, Reverend William, you in Mobile, Alabama. We've been broadcast through there. The last slave ship.
Yeah.
They have something they call it African Town. And the last slave ship, I think that we talked about that in class, about
the
last slave ship.
Matilda.
Yeah.
Clotilda, yes.
It's something on Netflix that you can look at, Reverend Williams. I know you've probably seen it. I looked at it not long ago, and I found it on LBS.
About
but
African
they found
Town.
That ship. Yes, about African Town. They found that slave ship, did they not?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, they did.
Yes,
ma'am, they did. Right there in Africa Town, which is in Plateau, Alabama, right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They found the ship, the cemetery. They're doing the cemetery work right now, finding, old the people that were buried back, slaves back then, that were buried in the cemetery right there in Plateau in Africa Town. So there's a lot of work going on there. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but the sad thing about it, they deal so many things that people take plants and, you know, where people have getting cancer and meals and all kind of different, what is that, plants around their surroundings where they live.
Right.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We have anyone else want to share anything before we wind it down?
Dr. Kemp,
the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name return from their wicked ways and humble themselves. See, that's what the problem is. Dr. Lockridge was saying in his sermon that what you're experiencing is not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. They want to do wrong first. Have you looked at it ain't no people on God's earth set apart from it. Everybody's doing everything wrong to their neighbors. What do the Ten Commandments say that we should do? What with our neighbor? But again, we
love our neighbor.
Love, all right now. But what happened to the Christians? What happened to them? How in the world you don't want your children to know the truth when Jesus said, what? I am the truth. But you say you're a Christian.
And the light.
But you don't want the truth. If it's the truth that brother invented that machine to make water out of the atmosphere, it's the truth. What is this about you? Why should it be known? I mean, why don't you want it to be known? What is that? If the brother with the peanuts invented all them things, with the peanut, why don't you want that to be known? What's the problem with the truth? What is the problem with the, you know, again, like Brother Lockridge, like Reverend Lockridge said back in the day, it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. You got some folks out there that just done riled up and saddled up with the head of people say they done teamed up with the devil. And they ain't about doing nothing right. You hear me? They ain't about doing nothing right. Because, I mean, that is, I don't even understand how they could stand up there and say they don't want the truth spoken. That's what that's really, I mean, that's all that boils down to. You don't want the truth spoken. It's just that simple. It's a sin problem. It ain't no skin problem because some folks don't want to be bothered with that foolishness. And if you read the Bible time and time again in the Bible, it pops up, and then God crush it. It pops up, and God crush it. And then the Bible said, he told them, who are called by my name. But hey, it's a sin problem. And just like the brother said, how can we help them youngsters? Listen. Stop buying them tennis shoes and all the other stuff. If you don't read this book, hey, it's real simple. What that Jethro Bodine said on the old time, Beverly Hills Billy, not from not equals not.
Equals not.
Yeah, he's cipher. Not from not equals not. We have to start, especially the parental generation behind us, because I'm in my 70s now, but they have to demand that their children start putting something in their brains so that their bodies would start moving in the right direction, in a more positive direction. Because that's just too many of our seed being incarcerated and going to a grave as though there's some type of war going across the width and breadth of America against our children. All these ladies talking about women's rights and women leadership and all that, those are your children. Without a woman, the human race will cease to exist. So if you're in authority, go and tell your children what you're doing is stupid and you're going to stop because I'm your mother. And if I didn't have you, you wouldn't be on the planet. It's real simple, but you got to get the book. You got to take that book to them. It's real simple. Every time I talk with these ladies about the women in control now, I mean, I'm like, explain that to me. I've never seen so many young people kill. If you can't turn on the news on the weekend unless they kill three or four of themselves. Just killing each other. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But I'm just virgin. I'm just virgin. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Maybe, you know. But we got to get them to get that book. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Williams. Thank you, Dr.
God bless you, sir. Amen.
Thank you both so much.
God bless you. God bless you.
Good evening. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Tara Scott, and I'm also a student under Dr. Kemp, UTS. And I just want to say, Dr. Kemp, you continue on allowing God to use you because everything that we have been learning so far has truly been a blessing. It has been opening our eyes up to a lot of things. So I just want to just encourage you to just keep on doing what you're doing, allow God to have his way with you. Amen.
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 You must be knew that if I didn't hear your voice, you that was going to be an F minus you would have received.
let me get my words in. Good afternoon, Brother Bab. I'm thanking God for everything I've heard tonight. I just was going back on some of the scriptures that Pastor Kemp was elaborating on in Acts chapter 1. I don't want y'all to. I don't know. That was just really stuck with me about the Roman. Looking at Paul as if he was an Ethiopian. Tonight has just been a really good boatload of knowledge for me, and you know, just looking at the word throughout my, you know, little short span on this earth, you know, you always looked at Paul as being a Roman citizen, as a Jew, but you never looked at him as being a dark figure. But like I said, again, there's a lot of things since I've been coming to UTS. It's been a very enlightening experience, and I thank God for all the instructors. And I appreciate the time that we're having here tonight. And that's all I want to say. I just wanted to elaborate on that Acts 21. I don't want to go too deep. I just want to throw that back out there, though. That really touched me, just looking at that.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Amen. God bless you.
Where Paul came from around where he came from, Tarsus.
Paul
and Tarsus, during that time, Hannibal and others, they had conquered all the way around to almost to Rome. They had conquered all the way around that way. So, yes, there was a Ethiopian or a Egyptian province had control over different parts of that country, come from the one that David had killed, Uriah. He was a Hittite from going around that area. They were also of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
They're really Hittite, yeah.
Yes. If you will allow me, Dr. Williams, I just want to make one more comment, more of a statement. I was talking to a lady, and I informed her that when Jesus was born, the entire nation of Israel was slaves to the Roman Empire, which made Jesus a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to, she went off like a rocket. But again, when you don't read the word, but it clearly tells you, hey, that's why he was born in Bethlehem, because Joseph had to go for the census count. He had to go to Pilate. Pilate found no fault in him. But Jesus was born when the nation Israel was in bondage to Rome.
Under Roman rule of Rome.
Okay. Brother George, all you had to do was to tell her we just passed by Good Friday. And when the children of Israel hollered Hosanna, they wasn't hollering save us from our sin. They were saying save us from Roman rule. They were in bondage to the Romans, and they was hollering out save us. They didn't want to get rid of the sin problem. They wanted to get not be in bondage to the Romans.
Yeah, get rid of the bondage problem.
Because
They can get the rabbits
Hosanna to
the
high,
the Roman sister.
Jesus don't want to kill none of the Romans. He's talking about us stopping sinning. They ain't want to hear that. They ain't trying to get his sin up. They want to be get it free from the Romans. And again, they acted as, just as they acted in Genesis when they got out of bondage. They went and they wanted to be just like them doggone Egyptians who God had just freed them from. And now we see it right now again. You know, we've got to, you know, get that book, and that book will do a whole lot to have them to realize that, listen, all of these false prophets and stuff, and they're not teaching them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for things that's just not real. They're looking for stuff that's just not real. Because God, his blessings, but that's can't say, if you really listen at them, they're conditional. If and then, you got to do something. Oh, this welfare mentality where they're just going to drop a house on. It don't happen like that. God don't work like that. Because he says what? He's going to judge according to what? Come on, man. I mean, like I say, we got to get them to get that book again, because right now they kind of lost now. They're falling by the wayside by the numbers. And pretty
well,
quick.
Well, like you say, they wanted to be delivered, and so do people today. They wanted to be delivered from Roman rule, but they didn't want to be delivered
exactly.
from sin.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
They don't want to change. They don't want to change, but they wanted Jesus. That's our king. So they wanted what he had done, performed all of those miracles, and they wanted to know, why in the world can't you just get rid of these Romans?
Just
get rid of the Romans,
excuse
man.
Me.
You walk
we're
going to
let, Brother George, we're going to let Reverend William come in. But before with that,
amen.
I'm going to leave y'all with one
amen.
Thing. I want y'all to listen at me closely. Why do the Bible have Jesus, the sign that was written over Jesus' head, Jesus, King of the Jews? There was no such word as Jew during that time. That came from Catholicism and by King James and others. There was no such word as Jew or Jure. Okay,
he would have been
the king of the Israelites. He wouldn't have been king of the Jews. That shouldn't talk about on the signature on the top of the cross they had on Jesus, King of the Jews. That wouldn't have been. If you look it up, that term is only 1,000 years old. He died over 2,000 plus years ago. Amen. William, I turn everything over you. I know time been well spent. In my class,
Lord.
I love you guys, and God bless you. We taking
too,
Black
Reverend
history,
Kim.
And so we wanted to be tuned in. I'm going to get them to tune in. And so as we take our Black history course, I want them to share some of the things they've learned with those who are listening in, all those who are listening in that's not in the class, and I know there's others that's listening in that didn't say anything, but whatever you have to say, the only dumb question a dumb statement is one not asked. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen to that.
Yes, sir. God bless you, Pastor Kim. Powerful show. To all the to the UTS students. Hey, guess what? I'm a former UTS student too. Dr. Kim is my mentor too. So you know, it's awesome. So it's a blessing to be in your presence spiritually through these lines and through this platform. I thank you for coming on tonight, sharing what you're learning, what God has put into your hearts, and what he's doing in your life. And it's something, because listening to you all tonight, and this is a scripture I want to put out there to just come with this, what you're saying. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. So when we are training up our children to be thugs and gangsters and drug dealers, that's what they're going to act like. That's what they're going to be. If we're training up our children to be our partners as our sons and our homegirls as our daughters, we ain't going to get them nowhere to advance in life. You understand what I'm saying? So if the reason why our children are perishing and being destroyed in the streets is because we have denied ourselves
the knowledge of the word of God, which is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing is to the Father without going through the Son. So if we are not going to know that and remember that and carry that on to the next generation, to our children's children's children, we are telling God, guess what? We don't trust in you with all our heart. We going to continue to lean on our own understanding. We ain't going to acknowledge you in none of our ways, and we going to direct our own path. So that's not the prayer that God told the prophet Jeremiah to give to us. So we've already dropped the ball, but guess what? We may fall. But we get back up because we children of God.
Amen.
And he say he'll never leave nor forsake us. He hold us up with his righteous right hand, even in our disobedience and our unrighteousness and our stubbornness and our hard-headedness. He's still right there giving you and me another opportunity as you wake up every morning with, guess what?
All right.
That breath of life. Get up. Move. Give me the glory.
Right.
So that's what it's all about. So I welcome y'all to Breaking Chains. The doors of the church are always open to you. Always come on in, pick up the mic, and let's have a good time in the Lord. Amen? That's what I want to say to you. I give you my love. And as our professor, our overseer, and our mentor always say, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. How about that? And I'm going to shut up and leave you with this. Everybody that's listening tonight, say a prayer for all of our students here at the United Theological Seminary. Our overseer and our mentor and the dean, Dr. Kim, make sure that you are watching over them and praying for them at all times and everywhere over the world. Support and pray for them every time that you say a prayer. UTS, just throw the name out there, and all the students and the directors and Dr. Kemp, all right? And everybody out there, don't forget, support the ministry, support the podcast. Our Cash App is always open for you. I say this every night, all the time. $YATLIVE. $YATLIVE. YATLIVE. All right? Check us out. We love you. And that's it. Take the mic, Dr. Kemp.
Amen.
I'm gonna let one of my students each time we dismiss, I'm gonna let one of the students pray us out. Reverend Coleman, pray us out.
Father, we thank you what our ears have heard, Father, and our hearts have felt. We thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful, beautiful podcast. And we ask, Lord God, that you just continue to just give wisdom and knowledge and understanding to our instructor. And Lord, bless this podcast. Bless every person that's on this line, Father God. Oh, Father, we ask that you perfect those things that concerned them, Lord. And we are so careful to give you the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 God bless you all.
Amen. All right. God bless everyone.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
God bless
tonight.
Each and everyone.
One last question.
Amen.
Hey, hello?
Uh-huh. Yes?
Hello? Yeah, one last question. In the African slave trade, when they brought all them people over, pushed all them people overboard, why did the numbers go up when the black people got on land?
Why did they do what?
Why did the numbers go up?
The numbers went up. They went to having babies even though they was in slavery and went through all this abuse and everything else. They still populated. The numbers went up everywhere.
Little boy, what you doing?
Okay.
Look, how great is our God.
Come on now.
Kingdom in how great. Because we serve a great God that he protected us while we were in the fire.
He was
in the fire furnace with us when they thought they were burning us. He had an air conditioner on us.
All the time.
Right.
Come on, Pastor.
That's the wrong way with the midwives. That's why they was having babies. The Israelites was having babies quick, and they wanted them to kill them. Same God.
Well, we about to have some great Tuesdays coming up. I tell you, going to be some powerful Tuesdays. Woo-wee. Thank you, Dr. Kemp.
Good night.
God bless everybody.
My people, I love you. We're family. Yeah, you and they are lying. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be. Late as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
What you hurting me?
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. I am a king. And you're a queen. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain.
I love you.
My people, I love you. I love you, my people. I love
my
you,
my people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people. We're family. Yeah, you and me. Hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I say, oh, 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 oh,
been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.